Hey, you want that to go?
We're going to get a quick takeout now on stories that we're following today. And the first one is actually somebody actually taking themselves out of the picture. Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Oprah has announced, well, is expected to announce today that she's going to be ending her show in 2011. And that's not just an entertainment story. That's a business story, right, Louise?
That's right. Oprah is a media conglomerate rolled up into a single person. You know, she is on satellite radio with her own show. She's got the magazines. She's got the show. You know that she co-founded the Oxygen Network a few years back, which people forget. And she's done this. And so she is not leaving the media scene. I think that she may reshape cable. Because
this is going to be a big blow to ABC.
It will. It will be a big blow.
Well, let's explain how that works at ABC. Oprah is mostly on ABC stations, and her audience is the lead-in to the local news on all those affiliates.
So all the people watching her show stay tuned often. You know, maybe they get up to go to the refrigerator, but the TV's on. Hers is a syndicated show, which is a particular model, very different from cable where she's moving. A downside for her, of course, is cable networks have fewer viewers.
Right.
And so she's, you know, jumping to a network that only has 70 million homes on it, which is 40 million fewer than typically broadcast. But I suspect Oprah could grow that
number. She
can
probably bring those 40 million with her. You know, we're asking people today, our takeaway question for the day, Louise, is when we say Oprah, what image comes to your mind? What does that name mean to you, for good or bad?
You know, I don't have a particular image that comes. It's more a feeling. I kind of get a warm, positive feeling, and I'm not even a fan. I don't even know if I've watched this show in more than 10 years. But I think she brings a positive feeling, and that's part of her business power.
A warm billionaire kind of feeling.
Fuzzy feeling,
Louise, you challenged our audience yesterday to say if they would respond to what retail, luxury retailers are trying this holiday season in a troubled recession, saying, buy your stuff now because we're not keeping a big inventory of stuff, and if people will respond to scarcity. And we asked listeners, would they respond to scarcity if it meant paying a higher price?
I am absolutely not looking for exclusive fashion. I'm looking for accessible fashion, and if there's something exclusive, I'll just wait for something else to come out at H&M or Forever 21. For now, that's what I'm happy with.
Elizabeth from New Jersey called us at 877-8-MY-TAKE and said she's sticking with the discounters.
And we got an email at mytakeatthetakeaway.org from Carly, who says, I don't think this will work because when retailers mark down merchandise, it's instilled the idea that if consumers buy at the regular price, they're really paying more than what the product is worth or not getting a good enough deal. We are so used now to buying products on sale that I think the idea of buying at the original price does not appeal to us. Consumers are getting smarter about their purchase. So, Louise, what's your response here?
Take that, Saks Fifth Avenue, because it sounds like at least the takeaway, you know, viewers are not looking for the $5,000 coats.
But I don't know if there is scientific sampling here.
That's right. They're not scientific.
Some of our viewers are a little unusual.
I'm really not doing any shopping for the holiday. My wife and I are going to get our DNA tested so that everyone in our family knows what their actual background is. And they're going to get the print out of that. And that's as good as it gets. And basically not spending any money until I trust the banks again, because I don't feel like borrowing a single penny.
Yeah, we're just going to hunker down and get our DNA tested this holiday season. Thank you, Eric. You can reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
There's
and
an
thanks,
idea.
Louise. Yeah, there you go.
So we're moving on to our last take, and it's with New York Times film critic A.O. Scott, and we're going to be actually looking at the movies this weekend. We spoke briefly about the Twilight series, the new movies coming out, and about that one you say, not a bad film if you're looking for pure entertainment.
Not a bad film if you know, if you're willing to transform yourself into a teenage girl, which I think is can be pleasant.
That's an odd thing to say, Tony.
But the studios are testing the whole franchise concept here, and is this one viable? This Twilight franchise?
This one is viable. The predictive numbers on this are enormous. And also this is one of the very few, maybe the only franchise of this kind that's aimed at girls who are really, at least when it comes to movies as opposed to TV, are really kind of starved for product. So much more is targeted at boys and about boys. This is about a girl, and it appeals.
Titanic really discovered this. Cameron's movie Titanic discovered. Teenage girls were so freaked out by that movie Titanic. They went and saw it 5, 6, 7 times, and this is an attempt to go directly at that market.
I think so. And since then, there hasn't been quite as much. So I think this is trying to relearn that lesson. lesson.
We've also got Sandra Bullock coming once again into the fray, the movie Blindside.
I like Sandra Bullock.
Everybody wants Sandra Bullock to succeed. We've said that in this program before. What do you think of Blindside?
Yeah, everybody likes Sandra Bullock. She certainly works very hard to be liked in this movie. She's this kind of relentless powerhouse of a woman who it's based on a true story and quite an inspiring story about a wealthy woman in Memphis named Leanne Tui, and she and her family adopted this homeless young man who turned out to be an incredible football player, an offensive tackle, and went on to play for University of Mississippi and in the NFL. This is a very kind of down-the-middle, sentimental, tear-jerking story. I did not like it. I thought she's a good actress. She's a compelling screen presence, but this one was just way, way too, too mawkish for me.
What about Planet 51? It's a boy meets planet. Boy discovers planet's already been discovered. Kind of an old plot line.
This one, I would say, if your children have misbehaved badly and you really want to punish them, or if you're feeling really kind of guilty and you want to punish yourself.
Ouch.
Otherwise, if
Planet
you have some
51,
dental
avoid.
Work you can schedule, it's a better bet. It's just like one of those animated movies that's relentlessly noisy and stupid and does not have an original thought in its head, either visually or in terms of story.
Okay, Planet 51. Yeah, if you find yourself in Planet 51 and need some help, you probably need to call 911 based on that review. 877-8-MY-TAKE. Comment on anything on the program, MyTake at thetakeaway.org. A.O. Scott is the New York Times film critic and also the co-host of
At the Movies.
At the Movies. Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.